Good morning. I think we have an interesting theme today. I'm calling it the ego and the ego. But first, I would like to reconnect with you on my term or concept of the idea of God, the word God. And I think we did this before, but I'd still like to make sure that we are all on the same page when I use that term, or I use the term God, or as with any term I would use to express the source or the presence, the one or consciousness. Okay. So when I use that one word God, I'm not meaning a superior being giving love and mercy, and I don't mean a creator of a world or a universe. I do not mean something in power that gives and punishes. I really do not have a label or words that can be used to describe that term. Okay. So the term, when I use God or presence or source, absolute, it's just pointing to that something that is unnameable. I don't have a definition for the word God when I use it. I'm only using it to point. Okay. So this something that we're pointing to is what you are, and it is your being. And you may have a specific definition for that, but I do not. Okay. So this means that the terms, the words that we use are concepts. Okay. It's any words, whoever they're spoken by, and no matter what it is, they are only speaking in concepts. Okay. And we are only conditioned to believe that we know their meaning when we hear them. Okay. But every word given to mind will have a different definition for each one that hears that word. So I just wanted to clear that up. Okay. So as you hear the words today, just let go of any preconceived interpretations of what that means. Just let it settle in, go into the heart instead of the head. Okay. Okay, so as you follow the words today, rest in knowing that knowledge is not being spoken. But what is being spoken is the pointing to something beyond the words that are being spoken. So it's not the words that is giving you any knowledge. It is when you take them into the heart and you go deep with them and let the silence speak the meaning, not the mind. Okay? So let's take a nice breath. and look clearly at the real. Now look at this. You know probably what I'm going to say, but look at this from the heart, not the head with its preconceived notions and ideas. Okay, the thoughts. So let's look clearly. So you have to look from the heart. The real, at the real, that there is no person here to be speaking. No person. And that there is no person there to be listening. No person. Sounds touch up against eardrums. And through our training and conditioning and education, we try to make some intelligence out of the work, out of those sounds. Let the words go to the heart. So take a breath and also see clearly. There is no me and there is no you. Consciousness alone is present. Awareness alone is present. God alone is present. Nothing else is here. So rest back and follow along with me. I hope it's not too bumpy today. So since we're speaking of concepts, we're going to take up a first concept, and many might believe it's the absolute truth. Many might have doubts. Many might not believe it at all. That's the differences. But for us, we're going to take up that first concept, and we will call all of our speaking today will be in concepts. Because that's all that can be spoken. No one can actually speak truth. So now, there is the concept that there is one God, one presence, that is the primal cause of being. We're going to call that our first concept. Now, if we accept this concept, then with contemplation of that, we will come to an understanding that this something that we call ego must also be of the one same source presence. We talk about ego a lot in spirituality, with the understanding that there is this little self that is the ego self, that goes through different actions and activities, different experiences, the little ego that is fearful, the little ego that is angry, this little something that is always in anxiety or fear, doubt. And sometimes it's in pleasure and laughter and singing and dancing. So we talk about this, but we usually talk about the side that is angry, upset, or anxious. So we're going to look today at the concept that since there is only one presence, that ego must be of the same source as that presence. Okay? Rest back. God is all. So we've looked at the concept of one presence, one God, one source of everything, so that it must be this ego, something must come from that same source. So then we look a little closer, a little deeper. We go in our inquiry that it would mean that everything then is God's will. If everything is not God's will, then where would the ego concept idea come from? There isn't anything else. So if we then go with that one presence, source of everything, then a closer look at that would mean, again, everything is God's will. And then a little deeper below that, into the understanding then that there cannot be a doer. If everything is God and everything is God's will, so then the ego and the doing are also of that same one source. And if there is no doer, then how can there be a presence in us that can make a claim that I am doing? So we either have God as all, everything, so it's either all or it is not. So okay. Have this one that is everything. So now we have God consciousness as everything. Then, in some way, this God consciousness must be the activity of action through this body, mind, ego. You have to have the ego to have the brain functioning in reasoning. So, this oneness, this one, must in some way be the activity of the action through the body mind instrument. So again, there is no doer. Sometimes we think it's the little ego. Why does it do those things? Why does it have a tantrum? Why does it kiss somebody? Why does it do anything? But if all of that movement in your understanding is the one that is present, and not a separate entity or a separate ego. No separation, just one. You have to maintain that one. So again, God is all, and it must in some way be the activity or the action that takes place through a body-mind instrument. And the very depth of your being is that same God presence. Okay. So we all know that any action, any appearance, anything that's presented to us in our awareness, it can bring up feelings of pleasure. It can bring up feelings of discomfort or displeasure, right? That mechanism we call ego, it swings like a pendulum. Okay. This makes me happy. This makes me upset. This makes me feel comfortable. This makes me feel uncomfortable. It's in a almost a constant action. Going back, since there is only God, since there is only consciousness, that unless God, unless consciousness is somehow the doer, then there could not be a doer. Again, nothing else is present. What would you have as the doer other than the one presence, which is the divine ego? What is called the divine ego. So we have no doer, no ego to be present, to make an action, or to make a feeling or a sensation. So in our practices, in our devotion, we are seeking happiness, we are seeking awakening or a higher understanding. So when you hold on to this oneness, this one presence, and this one presence being the presence of all action, all doing, then through your practices, you can release your hold on the concept that you have an ego that does the unpleasant things. So as you take this inquiry into this one that is everything, including this concept of ego, and the ego seems to create unpleasant actions and tries to grab on to pleasant ones somehow, you can release that hold. Why? Because there is a oneness present that is fulfilling the actions. There is no, entity ego. That truly is a concept. And when you look at it deeply, can let it dissolve. But we have within this oneness the capacity to see the falsity of holding on to an ego identity and allowing that which is present, which we would call the divine ego, to express itself as individualization. In this deepening into our maturity, we can come to an understanding that through the actions that we have been witness to, that there is no person present that has ever done anything. And that there is nothing is taking place by a me or a you. There cannot be anything present. Or going on that is separate from God's will. So in our settling into the stillness, we can see clearly that there is no me present, no ego present to be a doer. Because the doer concept is all comes from the concept of having an ego. And we mean an ego that we call the little ego or the little self, the one that lives in the sense of separation and duality. Now, in again, in seeing clearly that there is no me here to be a doer, because why? Because there is only one presence. But if I am not seeing that, then the ego concept becomes present with its judgments of fear or anxiety, or it can even be smiling or laughter, but for the most part, it will jump in with judgments and fear. One consciousness, one God, one present. The happenings are not separate from God. They are not generated by a conceptual ego either. Now, so let's go a little farther and take another look at this ego concept. So let's go back to again, God alone is. Consciousness alone is. The beloved alone is. There's only one presence. Nothing else is here. It doesn't matter what the thoughts are, doesn't matter what the concepts about past and future are. It doesn't matter what is going on in your immediate witnessing. It doesn't matter. There is nothing else here. Which too is a concept. The knowingness rises in the heart, not the head. So, with the one, it would or could mean that the ego expression is also God appearing. Otherwise, there would be something else beside God, besides consciousness. It has to be. I want to go to another level here about this ego conditioning, okay? So we look at the ego, perhaps this ego concept or the idea of being a separate person with beliefs in separation. We call that my ego. It lives in these two states. It lives in duality, happy, unhappy. So this is the probably the basic definition for everyone on a spiritual path that that's what the ego is. Again, that the ego for what we're working with here. We're holding to the concept that the ego idea comes from another idea of separation, that there can actually be a separate person. So with the understanding that God is all coming from the heart, that would mean that the idea of ego is of God. Now, we all have this amazing thing called a personality or ego, which is of the individualization of God. So we have this personality, and we have certain likes and we have certain dislikes, maybe not carved in stone, but picking out something, you might prefer one color over another, or one tea type over another, one coffee type over another. We all have these personalities. Some are bubbly and always joyful. Some are a little bit more serious and solemn. But we have these amazing personalities, which the infinity expressing itself. So this personality, or we call it ego, we can see that in there's but the one that it is an individualization of God's presence. So I'd like to look now at the ego like a two-sided coin, because we have the ego and the ego. So, like on one side of the ego claims to have things happening to a me, or a me doing things. And then when the happenings arise, it may pop up in thoughts of judgments or feelings of fear or perhaps even dancing. But this side of the ego, it will always claim this is happening to me. Or I am the one dancing, or I am the one doing. Even I am the one seeking. I am the one reading. I am the one listening. This side of the ego is always about person, personally. And we are all familiar with this side. From this side, we experience sorrow, suffering, unhappiness. And then there is the other side. For whatever reason, a spark sparks in the ego personality, because that's where it did take place when you felt drawn to seeking. That spark sparked for you. And in that, this ego personality, it began turning within. It began seeking something more. And in this turning, it began to leave the concepts of duality and separation behind. It began to see clearly. It began to see through the falsities of a separate person. And now, ego is abiding more and more and more in the oneness and love that it is its trueness. Now, we are not the ego. We are not an ego, not either side. But as the one side rests more and more in the reality of who it is, and that is where life is lived from. Ego, okay. No ego, okay. It is now becomes pretty much immaterial. So again, we are not the ego. And that is the personality that suffers. And we're not even the ego that looks within and recognizes itself as the very presence of God. We are the self. We are the one that is in awareness of the one that is present without a second. But it is up to each of us to take these concepts that we are given through our studies, through our readings, through our coming together in love and fellowship. So we take each of the concepts that we are blessed to be given and use them to inquire even more deeply as to who we are. To use them to recognize a higher understanding that we are this God that is the one and only presence. Perhaps not understandable, perhaps not deeply, deeply recognized, but we come into that realization, that self-realization that I am. So we are using the concepts. We are using the concept of ego. And we are moving to a different level about who we are. And when we can see that clearly, that there is no me present anywhere to be doing anything because God alone is, there is your peace beyond understanding. Okay. So any comments? Did I take you too far? Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, love.
Good morning. So, is ego just the concept or an idea of, who and what I am, I guess? I tend to use that sometimes, like, oh, this is just ego stepping in.
Yes. If you have still an identifying with body mind, okay, then
Right.
we are kind of split and we are seeking to set that identity aside, this splitness that gets angry or gets upset or judges something or of that nature. We want to set that aside. I think a lot of us come to the spiritual path in order to do that. But as long as I maintain a body mind persona, okay, I'm going to want to set this thing aside because I give that all of the negativity that transpires through this body mind apparatus, I give that to the ego. My ego did that. It's acting up today or this or that. So we give all the negativity to that supposed entity. But that's what it is, a supposed entity. It has no true existence. That's why I would never suggest trying to get rid of the ego because it doesn't exist to begin with. Okay, so we set that aside. So then we have now an ego that is seeking to awaken, right? So now we have the splitness, that we think in our body mind identity, we think that now we are moving away from this negative ego and we're becoming more of a spiritual something. So now we have the other ego over here that we are supposedly moving toward a betterness in us, a kinderness in us. So we're split. Okay. So what you want to do is just bring them together. The anger is okay. Okay. The upsettedness is okay. The judgment is okay.
It is the second side ego. When the judgment comes, you recognize it, you drop it. You don't pick it up and ruminate with it. You don't do anything at all with it. You allow it to have had its moment in the sun, so to speak, and you let it lie. That's the difference between the ego you set over here. Because the ego that you're setting over here would throw up judgments, it would ruminate on it for half of the day, or write it out in an email to somebody, blah, 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 blah. That's the one that you've set over here. Okay? You with me so far?
Yeah,
So,
so almost like non-reaction to that.
yes. This is the second side of the ego through our devotion study. Okay? That since what is present is God, okay, the vastness, the infinitude, the wholeness of God, and within this wholeness, a judgment rises through this body mind apparatus. Now, if me is present, me will start judging that and doing all that it does. If the other side is present in quietude, it will just let it be.
Okay.
So when you just let it be, that is your awareness present. That is what you would call the awakening, because you see that it's just words. Okay? And you just let it rest. What I'll often say is, don't give it to the mind, because the mind will take you on a merry-go-ride. It will just go around and around and around with the supposed indiscretion. It will just whip it to death. And that's what causes that feeling of being separate from God, from yourself, which is yourself. Because we maintain our attention on the ego on this side, and we're riding a merry-go-round, and that's where our attention is. We've withdrawn our attention from our true being and given it to the merry-go-round. So when you have words and anger, you let them drop. You just let them go. And this would be the practice. Just letting it go. Do not give it to mind. Do not give it to thoughts. Just let it be. Take that breath and get back and rest in the heart. Now, one presence, one God. If at all that would have been God's will. If you are in this awareness that everything happens through God's will, it is only because we have laid definitions, descriptions, and our concepts of how a God is supposed to be that we will not allow that God to speak an angry word. If an angry word is spoken, then it has to be my ego, or it has to be the devil. It has to be something other than the one presence, which is neither good nor evil. It just is present. There is no good God. There is, because there's no evil. There is just being. There is just presence. And if you can get past your definitions of what God is supposed to be, we have a little list. It's this, it's this, it's this, it's this, and it's this. If you can throw away your lists and just let that presence be, whatever that experience or witnessing might be taking place, just let it be and just melt into that presence, because that's yourself. You say, well, myself, I don't want myself to be angry. But then you say, who doesn't want their self to be angry? It's not that you maintain an angriness Anger is just a, it doesn't last. It passes like any other thought unless you give it to mind. And mind will put you on the merry-go-round. You shouldn't have done that. You should have done it this way, or you could have said something different. And what if you said it this way instead of that way? Mama, 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 you know, so the anger then has a chance to be with you and to build and to build, you know, because, oh, I was so stupid. Why in the hell did I do, you know, blah, 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 blah. Don't give it to mind. It will put you on that merry-go-round. If anger is expressed, so be it. Love it and leave it alone. The more that reaction, that action is allowed to take place in you, because there's no you doing anything. Okay? So if there was an angry word spoken, God's will. If there was letting it go and resting in the peacefulness of the heart, God's will. If there is an apology to be made, or something of that nature, God's will. Don't take credit for anything that happens that you would call good. So you cannot take credit for anything that transpires that you would call bad. You cannot have it both ways. Either God is one and one present, or it isn't. Okay.
Well, that's very deep, but I get it. I never really looked at it like that, Mary. Thank you. Because I tend to really beat myself up when I feel as if I'm not doing something. Oh, that wasn't spiritual. My
Yeah.
reaction wasn't spiritual.
There's your list. There's your list.
Yeah.
This is what spiritual has to be. I have to
Yeah.
do this and this and this. Throw it away. Get rid of it.
Gotcha.
Put it in a shredder. Throw it in the
Yeah.
fireplace. It doesn't matter. Get rid of it. No lists. Okay.
It.
No
Thank you
lists.
so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But in that beating yourself up, this is what I'm saying. It's okay if you were hugging yourself and saying, good job, you know,
Yeah.
taking credit for that. That's God's will, to give the body a hug or a rub or whatever. You don't have a me there to give the hug. All activity is God's will.
Wow, thank you.
Yes. Ponder that some today. Bring that into your devotion and take a good deep look. Take a deep dive. Put on the oxygen tanks and go really deep. I used to be a diver, so I know. But they you know, take a really deep dive.
Going to have to because it's a very different way of
It
seeing.
is. It is. And but I think all of you are ready. All of you are ready. I mean, we've been together a while, and no more baby steps. You're done. You're done with all of that. You're done with that. Yes, love.
This is a big one today.
No. Okay.
It feels it to me because
Okay.
I've been fighting you the whole talk.
I know. I could feel that energy that summer just
I was like,
Because those definitions of God are pretty written
well, it
down in
was,
blood there, I think.
I was like, oh, Mary's making this so confusing today. I can't think about this. And I don't know what happened. I was like, I looked at the painting on my wall, and I remembered last week the silence, the emptiness behind where the it just all like it came into me. I just rested in the stillness. That's all I have to do when all this nonsense happens. It's nonsense, Mary.
And it's okay. It's
It's
okay. The
exhausting.
feeling is okay. Just don't give it
Yeah.
to the mind.
Yeah. As soon as my mind started churning with it, it was like, oh, it's ex thank you, Mary.
That's why
This
the deep breath. That's why
that's why the deep
the
dive.
seeing, see it and take that breath. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my love. So again, if it's probably the first understanding when you come to a spiritual path is that there is but one presence. And take that sincerely into your heart when the mind is playing that old game of duality. Okay. Anybody else? As you know, if you have questions later, I'm here. Just let me know. Okay. Let us pray. Most beloved self, I am led from hell to heaven in my heart, which is your heart, most beloved. And I am led from fear to peace in my heart, which is your heart, most beloved. I am led from untruth to truth in my heart, which is your heart, most beloved. God alone is, and this is my life, my love, my heart. Shanti. Amen. Namaste.